Does that mean you hit on girls, too? That he didn't mind, so long as he could watch and join in. Stop asking about the woman. Impatience ruffled her branches. So you do know about her? The dryad grimaced, the lines in her face creviced with lichen. A human female passed by, a rather plain one, I might add. Kind of disappointing, really, considering the position she's being groomed for.
Where did she go?
How would I know? The dryad no longer made any pretense at seduction. Her rougher manners surfaced.
I think you do know, Chris said, and you're going to tell me, unless you'd like me to channel my inner Paul Bunyan.
Gasp. You are your father's son.
The dryad took root, arms and hair and limbs extending upwards again, the bark of her expression smooth as she gave him the silent treatment. If only he had an axe. Moving on, and doing his best to ignore the fact that he'd turned down sure sex for finding a woman who couldn't have sex, he reached an opening in the trees. The edge of the swamp caused him to pause. The scummy green surface appeared rather ominous with the weeds struggling up through. The brown and yellow fronds could hide any manner of creatures. Don't forget the smell. There was a reason most people didn't tolerate boggy areas around their homes. Swamps were a place of dampness, decay, and death with hints of methane gas. Surely Isabel had not gone this way. Except, sigh, she had, for there in the distance was a distinct footprint immortalized in mud. Fucking hell, he'd never get the deposit back on his tuxedo. Good thing he'd put it on his father's tab. Sloshing through the muck, Chris cursed and muttered, wondering why he even bothered. Isabel should be the one hunting him down, apologizing for her female hysterics. He was the wounded party. Don't I have a reason to apologize, too? No. He had the best excuse in the world for why he hadn't come to her. He was locked away, a prisoner held hostage and then blackmailed, while she got to plan their wedding and eat real food, not slop. Lucifer didn't treat his prodigal son with much care, which suited Chris just fine. The more he disliked the demon, the easier it would be to take his place. The water soaked his pants, and something swam up the leg to tickle him. It squished, then slapped. Definitely burning this suit when he got out of here. He made a wide berth around the trees. His experience with the last dryad had been interesting. However, she was still young and desirable. He doubted the same could be said for some of the taller and older trees here, their age gnarling their bodies, the moss slicking their skin. Ladies with that much experience might be more than he could handle. Despite all signs pointing to Isabel coming into the swamp, he'd not seen any signs in a while. The bog had swallowed all traces. Perhaps she'd changed her mind and veered around. Could be she'd decided against traversing this morass. If she had, then he could probably save some time and cut her off if he kept going forward. He was pretty sure he spotted firm ground up ahead. Up until this point, he only vaguely noticed the lack of life in the woods and swamp. No insects to buzz around his head, no gators to take a bite. So the sudden appearance of bubbles in the water drew his attention. The swamp beast rose from the muck, an ugly bastard with a foul stench and beady red eyes. Opening its mouth, it bared some jagged teeth and gargled at him.
Grrr.
What was that? I didn't understand you. He cupped his hand around his ear. The forked tongue jabbed in Chris's direction. If that was a proposition, totally not interested, dude. I don't suppose you've seen a girl running around these parts. The swamp monster didn't reply, merely raised its arms and gargled again. The beast lunged at Chris, and he sidestepped, bringing his elbow down hard on the thing's spine. It bellowed and whirled, but Chris was ready. As a young boy, and a right little shit, he'd had to learn how to fight, especially once he entered the foster care system. The other boys thought they could mock the future ruler of hell. A few bloody noses, split lips, and in some cases stitches and broken bones disabused them of their fondness for picking on the Antichrist. A monster wasn't much different than those Chris picked on in his youth. Just uglier, but oddly not as smelly as some of the guys he'd fought. Deodorant is everyone's friend. When the monster came at him, Chris let him, grabbing the thing's wrist to keep the claws from any tender parts. He still kind of needed his organs. He tripped the monster, and they landed with a splash in the murky water. For a moment, his head went under, and he couldn't see anything. He did remember not to inhale or gargle. Swamp water was only good for one thing, a really good colon cleanse. With that in mind, Chris kept his lips clamped and eyes closed against the gritty water as they grappled, the liquid's medium slowing their movements. He held his breath until he thought his lungs would burst. But the damned beast wouldn't succumb. He needed air, and the monster wouldn't let him up. Fucker. Chris refused to die, especially like this, the victim of a swamp beast. I am not dying. Not here. Not now. Something in him sparked. He didn't manage to smash the creature into pink slurry, but his power coalesced enough for him to give it a mighty push. Standing, the muck sluicing from him, Chris inhaled, taking a few deep breaths as he waited for the creature to attack. Except the monster would never attack anyone again. Its flight through the air ended with it impaled on a splintered tree trunk. Approaching the beast, a glint caught his eye. He fingered the pouch at the thing's waist, lifting the flap. The fiery blood running through Chris's veins turned to ice when he saw the necklace, last seen around Isabel's neck. Fuck me, I arrived too late. Isabel was dead. Chapter 4. What really happened? I can't believe I lost my great-grandmother's locket. Mother would kill her. The fact that Isabel had almost died would probably pale in comparison. She'll say it was my fault for choosing to go through the woods and into the swamp. Not her fault. Isabel would have been fine if her damned sword had done any damage to the swamp monster. But, like a toddling Rasputin with her first tiny epée, she'd lost her weapon and faced the jaws of death quite literally. Unarmed and seriously outmatched at the time, she could only hope she'd die quickly, or at least without gagging, given the fetid stench of the beast's breath washing over her face. The tip of the monster's tongue wiggled free and left a trail of slime across her cheek. It had gotten awfully close to her lips. Ew! When the giant dog arrived out of nowhere. The dark streak of fur leaped and knocked down the creature. Immediately, the furry dynamo began tearing at the lizard man. But even the chunks it tore out didn't kill the beast. It did, however, slow it down. The dog, the fur slicked back and thick with muck, leaped off the monster and planted itself in front of Isabel. It gave her a look over its muscled shoulder. What? She asked. It barked. She shrugged. While I'm sure some people have called me bitch, I don't speak that language. It rolled its eyes and wiggled its body. You want me to ride you? And why exactly was she talking to a dog? Then again, why not? As the swamp monster rose, it reached for her, and she narrowly dodged it, only to find herself choking as its claw hooked on the chain around her neck. With a yank, the fine golden links snapped. Bye-bye, something old. It meant she could leap forward. She threw herself onto the dog's back and wrapped her arms around its neck, hoping her trust in it wouldn't result in her becoming its canine dinner. The dog took off, each gallop of its paws a bouncing, bumpy ride, but one that took them away from the gargling hiss of disappointment. Alive, but she'd lost her sword. She decided not to bother the giant dog about going back for it. Evangeline would get it later. Right after her big sister hurt the big bad lizard for touching Isabel. Times like these, she loved being related to the wickedest witch. The water in the swamp splashed, doing its best to get her mouth and eyes, a bacterial infection waiting to happen. She buried her face in the dog's fur, inhaling the odd fragrance, burnt cinnamon and a hint of something else. Soon, the soaking droplets stopped spraying as the dog hit firmer ground. But it didn't halt. It kept running and running. And while the thought did cross her mind to jump off, she had to admit that dog riding was proving much easier than walking. So Isabel kept hugging the giant pooch and almost fell asleep, the rocking motion lulling to someone who'd suffered a traumatic day. When the ride eventually stopped, she lifted her head and blinked. I know that house. The stately mansion, which was borderline castle with its turrets and stone facade. The dog had brought her home. She couldn't have said how he found it, but she wasn't surprised. For someone not raised with magic, this might have seemed peculiar. However, Isabel was no stranger to coincidence. Fate had intervened, sending her this fine hound in her moment of need. Thank you, divine fates. Dismounting, Isabel wasn't quite sure what to do with the massive canine. He sat at her feet, and yet the tip of his head was almost level with her chin. Ever practically stared a dog in the eye? It was daunting to someone her size. The big beast didn't wear a collar, yet if one ignored the matted, dirty fur, he looked healthy and well-fed. Yes, he. Someone wasn't neutered. He stared at her with his big black doggy eyes. Did he want something? She had no treats to give, and she wasn't about to give him any of her meaty body parts. You can go now. The dog cocked its head, a small rumble coming from his mouth. We're not done yet? What do we still need to do? Then it hit her. Are you waiting for a thank you? Why she kept feeling a need to speak out loud was beyond her. Thank you, Mr. Doggy Thing, sir, for saving me. Are we good now? The dog kept staring. It began to work on her last nerve. Is this where I invite you in and offer you a steak for saving my life? At that, she got a reaction. The massive dog bounded up the steps and stood waiting by the door, tail high, and whipping mud left and right. So filthy. He'd leave the house a mess. For a moment, she wondered at her sanity. Was she seriously thinking of letting a dog, who outweighed her, with a giant head and a full set of sharp teeth, into her house? Why not? If he'd wanted to eat her, he would have. Besides, she'd always wanted a pet. Joining him, she said, "Let's go see what we have in the fridge." The door opened at her touch, the magic in it better than any key. It recognized who belonged and who didn't, which meant it tried to close on her new giant puppy. He growled at the door, a full-on, lip-curled-back, scary growl, and the door took notice. It immediately slammed open, hitting the inside wall so hard the house vibrated. Big Doggy knew how to command some respect. You tell that naughty door, she muttered, amused by it all. Once Isabel got inside, her shoulders drooped as she caught a glimpse of her appearance in a mirror. Good grief, I look like a refugee. Covered in mud from head to toe, wearing a dingy, ragged gown, her hair a veritable bird's nest, she hardly looked like a bride. Then again, she wasn't one, not anymore. I did it. I escaped, and it felt great. I took control of my destiny. Gave the middle finger to fate, her family, and the devil. Let them solve their problems without her. I am done. Taking off her scum-coated shoes, the ankle straps, the only reason she still even had them, her grimy feet left some perfect footprints on the tile. Mother would flip. She ensured she also left some handprints on the walls. As she headed to the kitchen, she caught the attention of their household pest, also known as Mother's favorite. A cacophony of high-pitched barking started out soft and erupted into full-on freak-out as her mother's tiny Yorkie, Queenie, emerged to object to the intruders in her house. And yes, by intruders, that included Isabel. Damned Mutt had always hated her. Used to pee on Isabel's pillow all the time until Isabel squatted on her one day. On the dog, not the dog's pillow. She'd eaten asparagus for dinner that night. Enough said. As the little terrier from hell rounded the corner, she spotted Isabel's new friend. Queenie didn't seem to realize she probably weighed less than what the giant dog shat. The Yorkie danced and yipped and snapped at the massive hound as if she were the size of an elephant. Big Pooch shot Isabel a look. She offered him a helpless shrug. No one could stop Queenie when in the midst of a full-on freakout, except Mother. Can't help you, dude. She's psycho. He lowered himself so his head hit the floor, putting himself eye level with Queenie. He seemed to have an expression that said, "Seriously?" Still, the Yorkie yapped. "You can eat her if you'd like," Isabel offered, although she's probably kind of stringy. Instead of chomping the noisy furball with one bite, he woofed. Just once. Not even really loudly. One deep and resonant bark. Queenie froze, peed herself a little, and ran off yipping. Hands on her hips and mouth open in surprise, Isabel exclaimed, "Dude, that just earned you 2 steaks. Entering the kitchen, she headed right for the fridge and yanked it open, smudging the shining stainless steel. She'd yet to see any of the staff. Perhaps Mother had kindly given them a day off because of the wedding. Speaking of day, what time was it? A peek at the clock on the wall made her blink. Surely that wasn't right. It claimed just over an hour had passed. She'd spent at least that much time wandering the woods, and then the trip home on the back of the dog. She eyed him. "I don't suppose you know anything about time travel?" No surprise, he didn't reply. "Maybe it just seemed longer," she muttered, as she rummaged in the fridge. She didn't find any steaks, but there was a leftover roast. Pulling it out, she slid it onto the island before grabbing the fixings for a sandwich. Perching herself on a stool, she tossed chunks of meat at her new pooch while layering herself a Dagwood-worthy meal. "I have to say, you came at an opportune moment there, buddy." Chomp, chomp. The next piece she sent would have arced over his head, but he rose up and snatched it in midair. "Good catch. But don't distract me. Grandfather says there is no such thing as coincidence, which means you came along for a reason." Stare. She tossed more meat to the dog before layering some on the mayonnaise and cheese. "So, I didn't see a collar on you. Does that mean you're a stray?" His head cocked. "Do you have a name?" "Bark." "You do? And do you expect me to guess it?" For a second, she could swear the damn dog smiled at her. "Okay, smartass. If you're not going to tell me, then I guess I'll have to give you a name. Fluffy. Grr." She bit back a grin. "Don't like that, eh?" She took a bite of her sandwich. "How about Speedy?" He gave her a pained look. "Scooby?" That was definitely a disgusted look. "How about Fang?" He bared his teeth. "Don't get pissy with me. It would help if you'd just tell me." Again, he tilted his head and chuffed. "You know what you remind me of, except that your fur is black instead of white? The Hound of Goshen." His ears perked. "But I doubt you'd let me call you Gushy, so how about Cujo?" He bared his teeth. But it was a happy teeth showing, not an I'm gonna tear you into chunks kind. I think Stephen King would approve. Definitely an indignant look. Not a Cujo kind of pooch, eh? How about Rex? Growl. Aren't you just the picky one? The only thing that you even came close to approving was Goshen. A short yip. She eyed him. Seriously? Another short bark replied. Fine, she sighed. But if you start messing in the house, I will shorten it to Gushy. He butted her, curving his massive head against her hand, demanding a scratch. Look at who's a big softy, she crooned, giving him some love and dislodging clumps of dirt. Her new pet wasn't the only one sporting a filthy coating. A frown pulled her brow. You need a bath. They both did. Which was where her mother found them, up to their noses in bubbles in the jacuzzi tub in the master suite. Her mother's suite. And when Mother Dear yelled, What do you think you're doing? Isabel replied, Bathing. Seemed rather obvious. What is that? A jab of a French manicured finger had her drawling. My dog. Get that thing out of my house. Isabel canted her head and smiled. No. Why, you little... The menacing step that Mother took in her direction didn't please her new pooch at all. Gushy, because that was so what she called him in her head, growled and jumped out of the tub. Her new dog, with sopping fur, went chasing after her screeching mother. If only Isabel had her camera. Sinking deeper into the suds, Isabel sighed and smiled. The day was slowly improving. And having a pet was turning out to be awesome. Chapter 5. Well, isn't this awesome? Getting drunk in a honky-tonk bar where the mullet still lived. The tavern Christopher drank in lacked strobe lights and leather banquettes, sporting instead rough plank floors, wooden tables and chairs, and pockmarked walls from years of badly thrown darts. However, while the decor might be a little rustic, the beer was cheap and plentiful. Cheap alcohol equaled getting drunk fast and thoroughly. After the first few, he chugged them like water. Anything to dull the strange ache in his heart. He even knew the cause. Not deep-fried foods or too much white powder up his nose for once. He was sad. Chris and Isabel might have fought. He might have balked at getting married, but damn it all, he never wanted her to die. Especially not a virgin. Or girl. Raising his glass in a toast, he slurred, Wherever you are, I hope that chastity belt is protecting you. Because if he couldn't have her, no one else should. Given heaven's strict entrance exam, where one little sin made you fail, he imagined Isabel got sent to the pit. What kind of punishment would Lucifer have for Rasputin's granddaughter? Or would his dad change his mind about marrying her? Isabel was a beautiful young woman, smart, strong, and courageous, with the nicest set of tits a man could ask for. Who wouldn't want her? My dad better not lay one dirty finger on her, or else. Or else what? What could he do if his dad, or anyone for that matter, chose to make a pass at Isabel in hell? It wasn't as if he had a pass to visit. Other than dying, Chris didn't know how to get there. Send people, yes, but visit? If he could get to the pit, then maybe he could talk to Isabel and explain himself. Maybe even somehow bring her back. I am, after all, the Antichrist. Surely that means something down there. If that Lazarus dude and his cousin Jesus could rise from the dead, then surely it stood to reason Chris could manage something too. But what if Isabel didn't want to be saved? What if... Gasp. She rejected him. Again. Just how many times could a man be shot down? The very thought had him signaling for more alcohol. The credit card he used to pay for his binge filched from Rasputin's wallet. The old man owed him. Chris couldn't have explained the logic of why, but apparently his subconscious had an inkling, seeing as he picked the old wizard's pocket before the ceremony when they exchanged a hug. At the time, he'd planned to use it to order 100 pizzas to be delivered to their mansion. Now instead, Rasputin would pay to drown Chris's woes. By the time his sister Bambi found him, her presence announced by a series of catcalls and propositions that made Chris wonder if, as her brother, he should defend her virtue, he was past the point of chugging beer and tossed back hard liquor shots. "What do you want?" he asked, only slurring his words a bit. Years of practice finally came in handy.
"Our father told me to check in with you and find out what you're going to do about the wedding situation."
"Do?" he snorted. "I ain't doing fuck all. Isabella's gone, with the woman of my dreams." And the fire in his loins. "Gone. The whole marriage thing is off the table because if he thinks I'm marrying that annoying sister, I'll kill him first." He wasn't sure how, but given his destiny, surely he'd figure something out.
"Marry Evangeline?" Bambi giggled. "Oh, that would be funny. She'd probably turn you into a bug and squish you as soon as you said I do. But I don't understand why you don't just still marry Isabel."
"Because she's dead. Eaten by a swamp monster. I can't marry a dead body." Because while he enjoyed watching zombie flicks, he had no interest in getting hitched to one. "May her soul cause father torment." He raised a glass in a toast.
"She's not dead, silly."
It took him a moment to filter the words. "What do you mean, not dead? I thought..." He trailed off. He'd assumed because of the necklace he found that Isabel died. But if she hadn't, then there was still a chance for her to reject him again. "Even if she's alive, you saw what happened at the church. She wants nothing to do with me. She hates me."
"I wouldn't be so sure of that. Hate and love are strongly interwoven."
"If you came here to feed me some psychobabble, then go away. This is drinking time."
"Who taught you to give up?"
"Self-taught, and good at it."
"So you're just going to let her go?"
"Yup."
"Free her up to marry someone else?"
"Grr. Yup."
"Even our father in hell?"
The glass hit the wall and smashed before he realized he'd thrown it. "I don't give a fuck."
The slap to his head almost smashed his head off the bar. It proved the prelude to a harangue. "You are an idiot."
"Hey, where's the sisterly love?"
"I'm still coming to grips with the fact that I have a brother."
"Blame my mother for that."
"Do you know who she is?"
"No. The woman who raised him turned out to be a fraud. His real mother was some badass who liked to animate dead bodies." "My mom is dead."
"And you will be too if you don't smarten up."
He scowled. "You can't talk to me like that."
"I can, and I will, as your older sister. You love Isabel."
"Love is such a strong word," he said, squirming on his stool with a grimace.
"How about care about her? Enough that you got wasted at the thought she might have died."
"So what if I do? Doesn't mean she likes me back."
"Of course she does. Why else would she have run?"
"That makes no fucking sense. If she cares so much, then she should have been happy to marry me and not humiliated me in front of everyone by jilting me at the fucking altar," he yelled, the embarrassing rage consuming him. The whole building trembled.
"So, because your pride was pricked, you're going to be a moron?" She shook her head. "You are just like our father."
"Fuck you, I am nothing like that bastard."
"Funny, because you sound just like him. Our father also forsakes people at the slightest perceived slight. He doesn't give a shit about their feelings, doesn't give second chances or allow time to talk things out."
"I know what you're doing," he glared at Bambi. "Reverse psychology is wasted on me." Adults had always tried to manipulate him, especially once he hit the foster care system and began seeing all those psychiatrists.
If I can't dare you into doing the right thing, then why not do it because it will piss Daddy off?
That makes no sense. How is getting Isabel to marry me going to do that? He wants me to fulfill his part of the bargain.
No, he doesn't. Rasputin does. Rasputin wants the power that would come with being aligned with the Baphomets, but Father doesn't want that.
You're contradicting yourself. You said Lucifer sent you to talk to me.
He did. He knew you'd say no to making up with Isabel. If she remains mad, then that means Rasputin can't provide a virgin female family member for marriage, which, in turn, will mean any debt Father would have incurred by refusing is null and void.
Christopher blinked. You mean, in some back-assed, fucked-up way, by not talking to her, I'm doing what he wants?
Yes.
Well, that couldn't fucking happen. Slamming his hands on the bar, Chris stood. I will not be an obedient son. How dare he try to keep me from the woman I like?
Cockblocker, Bambi agreed.
Yes. His expression brightened. He is blocking me from getting some relief. He looked down at his poor balls, the blue suckers that had ached since the moment he met Isabel. I need some cash. He held out his hand.
For what?
A taxi. I might have maxed out this card. He sent it sailing over the bar. Bambi reached down her shirt and yanked out some bills hidden in her cleavage.
This should tide you over, although I might recommend you shower before finding her.
Looking down at himself, he grimaced. The swamp had left its mark. Good point. And thanks. The word felt odd coming from his mouth, but Bambi smiled.
Anytime, little brother.
He sauntered from the bar, whistling and feeling quite pleased with himself. I'll show Father he can't manipulate me. Bambi turned on her stool and watched Christopher leave, his drunken swagger keeping him upright. But just barely. A shower would hopefully clear some of the alcohol from his brain. He'd need all his wits if he was going to confront Isabel. The aroma of brimstone and heavy aftershave tickled her nose. So, you managed to convince him? Lucifer asked, taking the seat beside her, the guy he'd shoved from its surface making only a token yelp.
Yes, I reverse psychologized his ass. He now thinks he's thwarting you.
And yet he's playing right into my hands. Lucifer rubbed said palms in glee. Who knew having a son would be so much fun?
Are you sure you should be doing this, especially with the problems cropping up at home?
By problems, she meant minion uprisings in greater numbers than usual. There were also vague reports of souls missing, souls that hadn't chosen to recycle themselves in the abyss of rebirth. Where were they going? And was someone behind it? Lucifer refused to believe there was a problem. Bah, who cares about a few mouthpieces thinking they can test my reign? Happens all the time. I'll let those talking fools get a little confident, then smash them. Lucifer pounded his fist onto the bar, sending a tremor through it strong enough to rattle glasses.
I don't doubt you can deal with a few rebelling minions, but what of Christopher? You know what the prophecies say of your son.
They spoke of a great war, a battle between heaven and hell, and what lay between. The son of Lucifer would play a huge part in it. But the prophecy didn't say how it would end, other than that the son would call himself king. Those same seers also claim hell will freeze over because of some ancient evil that will return. He snorted. As if. Just because those three hags spout nonsense doesn't mean it will come to pass. Bambi thought her father too nonchalant.
Things were happening both on earth and in hell. Strange things. Things that many people called portents.
Father seemed to want to ignore anything that didn't suit his narrative.
Have you talked to Uncle lately?
Did God know something? Uncle believed by not telling he was not lying. A shade of gray that only God could get away with. Yet, those seeking entrance into his sparsely populated kingdom weren't given the same courtesy.
"My damnable brother is keeping quiet, practicing for our golfing match, I'll bet. I hear he's taking lessons. Loser. I don't need lessons. Although, a good caddy." He rubbed his chin.
"Why don't you just get it over with and hire Niall? The best golfer the world ever knew until he caught his fiancée cheating."
"I can't just hire the man. It's not done. I need to have some kind of leverage, something I can use against him."
"Speaking of knowledge, have you figured out who Chris's mommy is yet?" she asked.
Bad enough no one could figure out where Muriel came from. Now, with Christopher on the scene, the issue of maternity was causing issues. Especially since, unlike the rest of Lucifer's children born of a human and demon mix, Chris and Muriel weren't succubi or incubi oriented. Although Bambi wondered if Muriel might have a hint of sex magic. They probably wouldn't find out until the girl popped her cherry. Which might never happen. Little Lamb was waiting for love. Bambi never entertained such foolish notions. As Bambi was a succubus, sex and the energy from sexuality fed her. She needed it to survive. Whereas Muriel thought intimacy should be reserved for the man she loved. Perhaps it would be the man the little lamb met recently at her bar. Daddy would absolutely hate Muriel's new beau, which would only attract her even more.
"Whoever the boy's mother is, she's not human," Lucifer grumbled. "I tried to test him while he was in my dungeon."
"I still can't believe you did that to him. Who imprisons their son for no reason?"
"He's out to get me."
"Everyone is out to get you. You don't lock them up, and you wonder why he wants to kill you."
"Best he learn now that I'm not to be fucked with. I will have respect."
"I'm not sure threatening him will have the effect you wanted."
"He did what I wanted, though, didn't he?"
Lucifer lit the glass of brandy the bartender handed to him on fire, a low, yellow, flickering heat that he swallowed in a single gulp. "He only agreed to take your place because you threatened to kill Isabel. A woman he might deny loving, and yet, everything Chris did screamed otherwise."
"Rather brilliant, if you ask me. If only the chit hadn't thrown a hissy fit. I wonder if she's on her period. Might make for a messy wedding night. But then again, what's a little blood among lovers?"
Gag. Bambi wasn't squeamish about a lot of things, but sex during her menstrual period? Even a succubus had standards. "You do realize if he marries her, they might have kids.
Pregnancy is such a fragile state."
She stared at her father. "You'd kill your own grandchild?"
"I'd kill anyone who threatened me."
The flames in his eyes danced.
"Even family, so watch your tongue, daughter."
Her lips pursed, and she swallowed anything she might have said next. Lucifer afforded her some liberties his other children didn't have, but he did have a line. And crossing it, he wasn't joking about the killing part. "Have you asked Nefertiti to test his blood?" Nefertiti, an ancient Egyptian sorceress, provided knowledge and magic to Lucifer. If anyone could decipher Christopher's origins, it was she.
"She is working on other matters at the moment."
"Matters more important than your son?" Even now, Bambi had a hard time believing she had a brother. She knew how her father felt about his progeny. He only allowed females. Only. So the discovery of a son, one kept hidden from him for so long, had shocked the usually rascally devil.
"I'm sure his origins will come clear in due course."
"I would have thought you'd have recognized his mother after the cemetery fiasco." By fiasco, she meant when Christopher's mom animated some corpses to create a mega zombie monster, which father, of course, destroyed.
"I don't recall her brand of magic. Then again, there are many moments in my life I don't recall with great clarity. The hellshine of the early 90s packed quite a punch, and don't forget, I've slept with thousands upon thousands of women. How can I be expected to remember them all?"
He pretended indifference, yet she knew for a fact that it bothered him. who had dared to defy Lucifer and kept a son of his loins.
"What do you think will happen when Chris confronts Isabel?" she asked. The man was still so full of himself, convinced the world revolved around him and that no one else mattered. The only important needs were his. He would learn, because if he didn't, he'd become his father. Lucifer ordered another drink, a sambuca that burned with blue fire. "If he's a smart boy, he'll grovel and beg for forgiveness."
Somehow Bambi doubted that would happen. Her brother could be stubborn, just like his dad. She had a bad feeling about it, but she knew better than to interfere. This wouldn't be the first Antichrist to pop up his head. She knew better than to get attached. They never lasted very long. But the previous ones were pretenders. Rising from her stool, she adjusted the girls, presenting her best cleavage forward.
"If we're done with our little chat, I need to eat."
"That's my good sinning girl," Lucifer beamed with pride. "Try and rub off more on your sister, would you? My minions are laughing at me, in her 20s and still a virgin. It's a travesty."
With a slice of his hand, Lucifer disappeared into an interdimensional rip, and no one took notice. He could do things like that with barely a twitch. The devil was a powerful man. But she sure didn't want his job. She crooked a finger at a thick, lumberjack-looking fellow. "Hey there, sugar. Want to steam up the windows of your car?" He did. His friend helped out and gave it to her good. She had the bartender for dessert. And through it all, she tried not to worry.
Chapter 6 After the bath, sleep eluded her. So, wearing the most ragged cut-off denims Isabel could find, freshly created with scissors, and a snug t-shirt with no bra, she let her hair air dry as she sat in the front parlor, the one reserved for guests, feet up on the coffee table, leftover food spread out around her. Isabel had decided this day of stress called for some sustenance. Chinese food for her, the lemon dipping sauce counted as a sweet dessert after the General Tso's chicken, and sausage links for Goshen. He quite enjoyed those, and barely left any kind of mess on Mother's hand-woven cashmere rug. A full tummy meant Gushi's eyes drooped. Tired baby. She had just the thing for his weary head. A tasseled cushion, the needlepoint on it handmade and so precise. He appreciated the soft bed and slept soundly on it, only drooling slightly. As Isabel dipped her battered chicken into the lemon sauce, only losing a few drips during the transfer to her mouth, she alternated with chopstick bites of rice. More like a grain at a time since she lost most of it on the rug. She didn't pause in her epic face stuffing, even when Mother sailed into the room and yodeled, quite loudly and shrilly,
"What are you doing?"
"Eating." It seemed rather obvious, but she still replied. She stuck out her tongue, but missed the drip of lemon sauce. The floor caught it.
"Eating in the parlor?"
The query reached a high pitch.
"I wonder if I can make it go up a level."
"Yep, I am. You might want to tell Joanna the club chair needs a cleaning."
The cherry sauce had gone for a ride, hence why Isabel now only ate the lemon.
"What is wrong with you?"
"Nothing. Nothing at all, as a matter of fact. Never felt better." Isabel might have lifted a cheek and punctuated that remark with a fart, a noisy one. Her mother gaped, a frozen statue of shock. It made Isabel wish she had a camera.
"Did you just..."
Mother couldn't say the word.
"Me?"
Isabel tried to look innocent. Failed. So she pointed a finger at Gushi.
"He did it."
Her new puppy opened an eye, glared at her, and sniffled before closing it again.
"I thought I told you to get rid of that beast."
"And I told you no. Are you getting deaf in your old age? Should I perhaps be calling up the seniors' home to see if they have any open beds?"
"This is unacceptable."
Her mother huffed, cheeks almost purple with indignation.
What's unacceptable? You should specify. Is it the food? My outfit? The fact that ladies don't smell like roses when they toot?
Which was why she invested a bit of her savings in poo-pourri stocks.
Your attitude is what I'm referring to. This disrespect will not be tolerated.
Weren't you the one celebrating my newly minted backbone not so long ago?
There is rebellion, and standing up for yourself, and there is disrespecting your mother. I won't have it.
She wagged a finger. Not in my house.
Is this your subtle way of telling me to move?
Hand me the classifieds. I'll start looking for a place.
Why are you being deliberately obstinate?
At the query, Isabel swung her feet off the table, and her steady gaze met her mother's.
I wouldn't think it'd be too hard to figure out. Why do you think I'm acting this way?
Could it be because you and Grandpa tried to marry me off to Chris and thought it would be funny not to tell either of us that maybe I don't like having my life jerked around as if my feelings don't matter?
I didn't know about Christopher.
Isabel pushed. Did you know I was marrying into that family?
I did.
Aha!
But only recently.
So you knew and said nothing about it, just assumed I would be marrying the devil himself. Somehow thought that was okay.
Isabel stood from the couch, bits of food falling to the oriental rug that cost more than her car.
He's the damned devil, like a zillion years old. Way too old for me. Heck, he's too old for you.
Age is but a number. It means nothing when it comes to alliances.
You tried to marry me off to the Lord of Hell. How could you, Mother?
The betrayal stung.
Her mom wrung her hands.
We didn't have a choice.
There is always a choice. I am your daughter.
She poked herself in the chest, punctuating each word.
Arranged marriages are a fucking archaic and barbaric practice, and I won't have any part of it.
She sliced a hand through the air, and a fanciful part of her imagined it slicing through a thread of fate.
I think you made your feelings clear when you embarrassed the family running off like that.
You're embarrassed? What about me? How do you think I felt when I had to walk up that aisle because you blackmailed me into marrying a stranger? How do you think I felt when I realized the man I loved, the man I was waiting to rescue me, was prepared to marry someone else? Did you even think of me at all?
As Isabel's voice rose to a yell, the house trembled slightly.
I was thinking of our family,
spat her mother.
There would be no apology forthcoming.
Your grandfather made a deal with the devil. Exactly what kind of choice do you think he had? Did you think we could simply walk away from our side of the bargain unharmed? Are you that naive? And I will remind you that had your sister not fornicated outside of wedlock, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Here's a tidbit for you, Mother. If you'd not slapped a chastity belt on me, I would have fucked, too. I wanted to lose my virginity. And then what? What would you have done then?
Her mother's lips pursed.
All this time, I thought you wanted me to save myself for love, for someone who would respect me. But no, my hymen is nothing but a bargaining chip for you.
Virginity works to your benefit. Having your hymen intact means you get your pick.
Except I didn't get my pick, Mother. You chose, and that's a problem. All my life, I was told I'd have to marry, that I wouldn't have a choice. Stupid me. I listened. I believed in it. But do you know what? I'm not a malleable little girl anymore, Mother. I don't have to do anything you say. I will marry when and whom I please.
You must marry Lucifer or his son, or you'll doom us all,
Mother declared. How about when hell freezes over?
Don't tell me you made that a condition,
her grandfather snapped as he entered the parlor.
We want this wedding to happen.
Then why don't you marry him?
Isabel retorted.
I'm not just going to bend over and take it because you're too straight.
Watch your crude language.
Her mother waved a hand at her, and without even thinking of it, Isabel raised hers and caught the little zing of magic and flung it.
Grandfather began to gag and spit out bubbles. How interesting. Isabel had never wielded magic before, and yet, now since she'd met Chris, she appeared to have certain abilities, one of them to deflect. What else could she do?
I will speak as I fucking please, she angled her chin.
Stubbornness had a certain liberating quality to it. No wonder her sister enjoyed it so much. Grandfather managed to rid the bubbles from his mouth and croaked,
Surely there's something to make you change your mind. Gold? Jewelry?
When threats didn't work, bribery sometimes did.
You want me to marry him? Isabel arched a brow. I thought you hated Chris.
I do, but so does Lucifer.
How does that help the family?
She wondered aloud.
If it comes to a battle, a side must be chosen. The expression is out with the old, in with the new.
You believe the prophecies?
Yes. The seventh son of the seventh son has played his part. The lamb has unlocked the gate. What once was hidden is almost free again.
What are you talking about?
Her grandfather shook his head.
Nothing but old ramblings from older books. Enough chatter. Tell me, what will it take for you to marry the boy?
The words spilled from her lips as she detailed the fantasy she never got. If Chris wants me to marry him, then he has to do something heroic. Something utterly selfless, something to prove his love. But that would require Chris caring enough to come after her. Ding dong. Fate didn't always knock. Given the late hour, the clocks all agreeing on the approaching dawn, was it any wonder they all glanced at each other?
You should get it, Mother declared in Grandfather's direction. It's late for ladies to be answering.
Rasputin grumbled. Do I look like a servant?
Our servants are better dressed, muttered Isabel.
At times, Grandfather lapsed into old personhood and wore the most atrocious things, like cardigans with patched elbows and tweed. Who the hell wore tweed anymore? Ding dong. Fate didn't have any patience, and her new dog was a lazy ass. He didn't even lift his head or woof. Some guard dog he was. Then again, he'd done his heroic deed for the day.
We shouldn't answer, Mother declared. No good ever came from answering the door in the terrible time between 2 and 4.
Most people assumed midnight was the witching hour. Not exactly. 2 and 4, the hours before dawn started creeping, when night was at its deepest, were the true darkest hours. Evangeline claimed it was the best time of the night. Best for wicked deeds. Yet look at her grandfather and mother, the fearsome Rasputins, arguing about answering a door. Wiping her hands on her shorts, the ragged left side a touch longer than the right, Isabel announced,
I'll get it.
Before anyone could stop her, she bounced out of the parlor into the front hall and swung open the portal without checking first. Upon seeing who stood there, she uttered a very disappointed, at odds with her fluttering heart,
Oh, it's just you.
Chapter 7. Not exactly the most auspicious welcome. Chris shoved his hands into his jeans pockets and rocked on his heels. Hi.
What do you want? Isabel asked.
You? He found that the anger he'd harbored melted at the sight of her. She looked delightfully sexy in her casual wear of Daisy Dukes and t-shirt. Braless, those pert nipples poked away, waving hello. As a man, he noticed the small details. He rolled his shoulders.
I thought we should talk, in person.
About?
She kept up her terse queries, and he felt his temper rising. Despite knowing he probably shouldn't, he couldn't help but snap. About the fact that you left me high and dry at the altar.
Are you seriously here to whine about that? Because if this is going to be a wah-wah what-about-me fest, then I am going to slam this door and go find a bag of chips.
He gaped at her.
Who was this woman and what had she done with his sweet Isabel? Then again, who was this female with the commanding presence and snapping eyes? It made a man want to grab her by the hair and kiss her until she succumbed to his desires.
Listen, I think you're unclear about a few things. First off, I wasn't getting married by choice.
What a coincidence. Neither was I, because a certain man I know didn't come for me.
He returned the snide attitude.
Well, that certain man couldn't come because he was kind of being held prisoner in hell.
At that, her expression softened, only for a moment. Prisoner? Highly unlikely. A son of the devil wouldn't let a petty thing like bars and a lock stop him. More than likely, you were whoring it up with your dad. After all, you are his heir. He probably had a great big old party to celebrate your return.
See? That was what Chris thought, too. However, the truth vastly differed. My dad would prefer I dropped off the face of the earth. He doesn't like me. He couldn't help the plaintive lost boy note that colored his admission. All his life, he'd fantasized about when his father would come for him, riding a black stallion with flaming red eyes. His father would hug Chris and declare himself delighted to have finally found his perfect baby boy. And they would ride off and find a way to rule the world together. Reality sucked, and his pity party about it blew even harder.
You just met your dad. I'm sure you'll warm up to each other.
What if they didn't? What if his dad never came around? He straightened his spine and gave his balls a scratch. Who cares what he thinks of me? I've been doing just fine up until now. Who needs a dad?
I do.
At that, he didn't know how to reply. What to say to the woman with the downcast lips and sad expression?
Listen, I didn't come here to fight.
Why not? I mean, after all, isn't that what couples who've broken up do? Her chin lifted.
I wouldn't call it a breakup since we were never technically together.
And this is why you're an ass. She went to slam the door, but he wedged his hand in. The crunch of wood on flesh made him wince.
That didn't come out right.
A lot of things you say and do don't come out right, but guess what? She opened the door to glare at him. I was willing to overlook your faults.
My faults? He gaped.
I'm borderline perfect.
For an imbecile.
I'm beginning to think this was a bad idea.
Gee, what was your first clue?
You know, the only reason I told my dad I'd get married in the first place was because he threatened your family. I admit, I don't really care what happens to your grandfather and shit, but oddly enough, I did give a damn about you.
He threatened me?
Yeah, and then tricked me, tricked us both with that whole wedding gig. For a second, he thought he had her, that she'd finally behave the way she should and apologize to him, instead of trying to make him take the blame.
Let me ask you, she asked softly, if your father hadn't blackmailed you or locked you away, what were you planning to do?
He knew the answer to that.
Come for you, of course. As soon as you left me, I knew I'd fucked up, and I went after you. Only my dad found me, and then the angels arrived, and the next thing I knew, I was a guest in an 8x10 cell with the hugest rats.
He shuddered.
He could see her wavering.
You're just saying that to make me forgive you. But he could hear the doubt in her voice.
He pounced on it. You think I'm lying? I know who your father is.
Good point, but I'm telling you, I'm not. I want to be with you, Isabel. I don't even care if we get married, although it would probably make things easier.
For her. He, on the other hand, didn't have any kind of restrictions on his cock. She could touch it any time she liked.
I don't want it to be easy, and I don't know if I believe you.
So let me prove it to you. Let me prove I want to spend my life with you.
Please.
The plea left a sour taste in his mouth, and yet feeling Isabel so close, and at the same time so far away, called for desperate measures.
For a second, he thought he saw a note of triumph in her gaze.
You'd do anything to have me marry you?
Yes, tell me what you want.
He'd find a way to steal it.
I will become your wife,
on one condition. She leaned forward and whispered it, the hot words tickling his lobe, then firing his incredulity.
You can't be serious.